DavidRenicky.com. Have you checked that website out yet? Check the links up on our Facebook. It's a really interesting site to get into. But the author, the man who collates all the information, is with me right now. Dave Renicky, hello.
Back with you again, Bilko. Good to be with you again.
Good to be with you, sir. Now, I've got to ask you, the big news, the elephant in the room, Elon Musk, the SpaceX flight that got Bob and Doug onto the ISS. You were pretty happy with that, weren't you?
Oh, look, over the moon. You've got to hand it to
the
bloke.
Pardon the pun.
exactly what he said he was going to do. And he's going to go down in history along with people like Orville Wright and, inventors like that. Von Braun, who got the American Space Program up and running. This guy's an innovator. He's a master at what he does. And what's got me is that he can do this so cheaply. He's just doing it cheaper, quicker, better. And he saved the American space industry. I mean, it was almost ready to close down, if you ask me. But there's what a textbook launch that was. The whole world, we needed a story like this in today's world, Bilko, to get us all up and running, the two boys.
Now, didn't we say last week the ISS is about to be brought down in 2024? So why are we bothering to send more people to the ISS?
Well, because this is a dry run. It's a demo two. You'll hear it referred to as demo two. Demo one was getting the actual capsule up and docking it on the station automatically, which it did. Now we've got two human beings on board, pilots on board, never been done before, and it worked quite well. There's no problem with that. The reason they're doing this is just because, okay, we're going to lose this space station eventually, but there's going to be other ones up there. There are one or two others that are in the works now that'll probably be joint ventures. And I think this will be all for that reason, for doing that. But the whole point of this exercise is to do what Musk wants to do, and that's eventually have a settlement on the moon. You'll find that this will be the next place he goes to. Once they get this all done, which they've already set in motion now, and you'll find that he'll be aiming well and truly to put an American crew on the moon once again.
Well, it's another angle to the space tourism thing, isn't it? This is just a way to show that it can be done economically and safely.
Well, what we're watching is the start of space tourism. This is private space business going on. This is a private space industry. We're watching the emergence of a brand new system. We're going to be part of that. The whole world is going to be galvanized in a way we've never been galvanized before. The access to space is there for just about anybody to do that. The price will come down. And here's a nice little touch that not many people know about. I wonder why the news media haven't mentioned it. They probably don't know. But the capsule itself that they went up there and docked with has been renamed by the two astronauts. That's what they called it.
Bob and Doug's home?
Endeavour.
Oh, beautifully done. Endeavour. I love it.
Yeah, they've named it Endeavour because that was Cook's ship, of course.
Yeah.
And Doug was the one of the astronauts on board the Endeavour space shuttle. He was a pilot on board that. And that was the last shuttle. He was on the last shuttle flight as well. And now he's on the first flight of this brand new industry. But they've renamed it Endeavour. I think it's unofficial, but a nice little touch, I thought.
Yeah, I think it's great. And it's good to see that, Bob and Doug are working with the cosmonauts up there. I think they've got to replace a couple of those guys too. So Godspeed and wish them all the well. And I just hope we see, every 6 months to see something like this happening. But
Well, they're up there for 3 months. They're going to do shakedown tests.
And all right.
They'll disengage, they'll re-engage, they'll dock, they'll redock and undock and just make sure everything goes okay. When they come back, they're going to come back through the atmosphere like the old Apollo did.
Oh, nice.
And land in a blaze of glory in the water.
Hey, look, can I thank you for directing me to NASA TV? I've never really watched anything on it before. It's quite well done.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good way for the public to get involved with it.
DavidRenicky.com will have more of that story. Now, when you're looking on that website, there's a great little tale, 7 unlucky tales of people killed by meteorites. Now, I thought meteorites hitting and killing people would be a very rare event. The fact there are 7 is pretty darn good out of, thousands of years of human history.
Yeah, well, these are mainly assumptions, but there's good bit of evidence behind it. Look, 7 tales of people who may have been killed by meteors and meteor strikes in the past. Well, we think around 1700 BC, we're talking about some of these classic cases, Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, right.
What destroyed those cities? In 3,700 years ago, a meteor may have exploded over the Dead Sea city. This is located in Jordan, and 100% of nearby cities and towns are flattened. Now, archaeologists looking at it say the explosion devastated hundreds of square miles north of the Dead Sea. It could explain what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. When they looked again at the records, AD 616, something wiped out a camp and a bunch of campers in China. The records for that day showed a shooting star falling from the sky and exploding over the rebel camp, killed 10 people. Again, looking at the records, is an iron rain incident. Iron rain means lots of meteors.
Right.
In 1341, in Yunnan province in China, it fell over the area 700 years ago. Now, people and animals were killed in that incident. They put it down to a meteor. Now, again, getting closer in more modern times, or reasonable modern times, 1490, 10,000 people killed in the Chinese city of Qingyang, an event that may have been caused by an asteroid exploding over the city once again. We're looking at 1648 here, these last two cases that we've got, two sailors killed on a Dutch ship when a large rock crashed down from the heavens and hit the deck of the ship and killed them and sunk the boat. Now, the last one that I got here, there's really nothing from that. There's reports of people seeing them fall down and gosh, but no one being hit. In 1888, this is the one I like, the Ottoman Empire, the records suggest a meteorite killed a man who lived in the area because a fireball in Iraq at the time exploded overhead, raining stones, according to the media.
Yeah.
Who knows whether these really did occur or not, but I like the Sodom and Gomorrah one. It sort of answers a few questions there, doesn't it?
Well, it does. I mean, it's not just God's wrath, but God's actually directed his wrath from the heavens. I mean, that's if you believe in a God, then obviously he's got to get the material from somewhere. So, what I love about your story is based purely on stats. Researchers are estimating that a space rock could strike a human roughly once every 9 years. That's, well, I mean,
now,
that's
I'll
a scary
tell you something
stat.
Else. Yeah. I'll tell you something else that I can't substantiate. No one else can either.
Yeah.
But the records, the Air Ministry records, I'm not sure where this happened, but it did happen. It was investigated fully, and it was investigated by a highest authority. There is evidence that a plane was actually knocked out of the sky, a passenger plane, a crashed plane some decades ago.
Yeah.
And there's good evidence that it was struck by a meteor of some size. Now, I can't remember that. I did a story on this many. You know, you do a story and you think, when was that? How long ago was that? And I can't find the details of it, but I do remember when we were discussing this many years ago on some station somewhere in the distant past that this did come up out of the blue. Now, as hard as I tried, I couldn't get any substantiation on it. It wasn't a rumour. It was in the records of the Air Ministry at the time. And it was either probably Britain or America, one of the two there. But there was a passenger plane, and the conclusion from the investigators after they looked at every aspect or every possibility, there was something in there that indicated, you know, where they say something but they don't say it directly, there's good evidence for. So there you go. But look, as far as I know, no one in fairly modern times has ever been hurt.
Yeah, fingers crossed. So what do they say? Touch wood.
Just watch out when you're walking around.
Good story, though. DavidRenicki.com has more. And I know you're into astronomy big time, David. Still three more big events to look out for in the sky. This is for June, is it?
Yeah, we've got a few coming up here to have a look at. I think the closest to us would be June 5. You've got a strawberry moon.
Hey.
Why do they call it a strawberry moon?
I know about a blue moon, but I've never heard of a strawberry moon.
Oh, there's lots of names for the moon. We call it a long night moon here in Australia in the Southern Hemisphere because we're transitioning into winter. Look, we're talking about the solstice, and there's going to be a beautiful full moon. Look, June 5 is the time to go and have a look. In North America, they call it the strawberry moon. It's when the tribes in Eastern and North America, there was a signal for them to go out and gather the fruit, the ripening fruit of wild strawberries, and that's why they call it a strawberry moon.
Okay.
Yeah, and also there's also a it's not going to be a good one. It's going to be a penumbral lunar eclipse.
A what?
It's only a very light. We're passing through the shadow. The moon's passing through the shadow, but just the outer part. The moon will change a little bit of a colour coming, a bit of a change on it. I think if you're out on June 7 and 8, and you can spare a bit of time in the morning, the moon's going to join up with Jupiter and Saturn. Nice little trio in the early morning
sky. Well, I hope it does, because the 8th of June's my birthday, and I want a nice little cosmic treat, so...
There you go. During the early hours of the morning, from midnight through to probably about 5 o'clock, in that period, you'll see the moon join up. Look, there's also the 20th. Stargazing is going to be good on the 20th. It's the solstice. The southern hemisphere marks the start of winter. And again, you'll have a nice big moon to have a look at as well.
All right.
So there you go. We've got a few things coming up for June, but nothing really amazing happening, just nice skies. And the good thing about it, because we're in lockdown and have been for so long now, the skies all around the world are so clear.
Oh, yes.
Getting people taking some great photographs through their telescopes at the moment.
If you've got any to share, get them up on our Facebook or even Dave Renicki's Facebook. I'll put those links up on ours so you can... Because, Dave, you get excited about that sort of thing, don't you, mate?
Yeah, now listen, by the way, on my website, I've got a little short 2 or 3 minute clip of the boys inside the capsule as they were naming it Endeavour. You're going to like it.
Oh, okay.
All of you should go and have a look at it. It's just them talking about it, and they're making the announcement. This is just after they arrived. It's just that when they got there, they made the announcement officially, and I pulled it off YouTube. It's a great little tribute to... what they say, they're just talking about the Captain Cook ship Endeavour. So there you go, something to have a go and have a look at.
DaveRenicki.com has more. We'll catch you in a couple of weeks' time, while I do my forced leave, and it'll be good. Thank you, David.
Yep, talk to you soon, Bilko. Bye.